You may have heard of us, but you might not know Bank First is a community bank that has no fee ATM access, interest and perks earning checking accounts. With online and mobile banking, mortgages for every stage of life, and modern business banking for businesses, small and big. We keep it all together to put you first. Do you bank with us? You should. Bank First is an equal housing lender and a member FDIC.
Well, it's Friday, and it is a Super Bulldog Weekend Friday. I'm Charlie Winfield. He's Bart Gregory. The Tigers of Auburn coming to town to play the Bulldogs here this weekend, weather permitting. There is some weather in the area. Bart, real quick, I just got to say this. As you look at these two teams coming in, one of these teams has to be looking at this weekend and just absolutely licking its chops. They got to be sitting here saying, you know what? We've got a team who hasn't been playing that well. We got a team that's played a tough schedule. Now it's time for us to make some hay. It's our time to turn this thing around. And you know what? We're the better team. We're better team RPI. We're the better team all the way around. That's why Auburn has to feel good coming to Starkville. I mean, and tongue in cheek, right? But you look at the RPI, Auburn 35, Mississippi State 57. That's 8 worse than when we sat here on Monday.
Well, because we played Alcorn and we lost 8 spots by playing that game on Tuesday.
We needed the old rain out. But look at this for Auburn right now. If you just pick up the standings and you say this is a team that is 2-13 in the league, they're trash, they're garbage, they're terrible. Now look. It's hard to excuse 2-13. This is, by the way, the best 2-13 team that we will ever
you
face.
Went there. You yeah, went there.
It's the best 2-13 league team that has ever been. But look at this. Here's who they play. When we picked up the schedule to start the year, we said, man, our schedule is going to be tough. They open in conference play on the road with Vandy. They then host Arkansas. They go to Texas A&M. They host Tennessee. They go to Kentucky. Those teams were ranked as follows when those games were played. 8-1-4-4-8. And again, that's when the games were played where those rankings were. It'd fall out a little differently today. But this is a team, to me, that hits it better than you would think. They're in the top half of the league in most things. That has struggled to find pitching. But if I'm Mississippi State, Bart, you know what I'm excited about? Finally, we get to face the team in the league with the worst ERA.
I knew you were going there. This is the third consecutive weekend.
You mean we've done this?
This is the third consecutive weekend we will be facing the team with the worst ERA in league play. All right. 2 weeks ago, we played Georgia. They had the worst ERA in SEC play. They came out of here 12th. Last week against Ole Miss, they had the worst ERA in the SEC. They did so good against us, they came out 12th. This week, we got Auburn. Their ERA in league games is 9.07, which is worst in the SEC.
For now.
For now.
What was the old thing, that, you know, the guy that was talking about his rank at the U.S. Military Academy? They said, where's your rank? He said, I was in the part of the class that made the top half possible.
Yes.
You know, Now we're making it possible to get out of last.
Yeah, the thing about when you look at offensively, and you talk about this as an Auburn team in the top half of the league offensively, in SEC only games they're batting 261, and SEC only games we're hitting 261. They've hit 18 home runs. We've hit 19 home runs. They've actually hit 8 more doubles than we have. 26-18 on doubles. We've scored 20 more runs than they have. And we've both stolen 15 bases. And so if you kind of ask yourself how good is Auburn offensively, they're us is who they are. They hit almost just as many home runs. The difference has been in the pitching staff and in the pitching stats. In SEC play, when you look at extra base hits, we've given up 45 extra base hits in league play. 23 doubles, 0 triples, 22 home runs. Auburn has given up 45 for us. They've given up 83 extra base hits in SEC play. 40 doubles, 3 triples, 40 home runs. Now, okay, here's what I'm going to use as an example of how I think. And listen, I haven't talked to Butts and I haven't talked to Dry or any of those guys over there yet. We'll talk to them this afternoon. They're good friends, and we'll hug each other, and then we'll want to beat you this weekend. That's the way we are. But here's just looking at Auburn.
And Butch won't necessarily even be nice about saying he wants to beat you.
Oh, no, no, no.
No, Butch is
good. Yeah. I mean,
that's the thing I love about Butch Thompson. Like, you talk about a guy that when he I guess you don't cross the lines as the coach, but you get the idea. When he enters the dugout door,
yeah,
he's a different dude now.
He is. He is. I mean, he turns.
Still a great dude.
Oh, he's great.
He's a great competitor.
Great. He is a guy that I would consider a very good friend personally. And he's got some, you know, I got some Winston County in me, okay? When I get away, you've had to tone me back a little bit. Butch has got some Monroe County in him. And by the way, it was interesting. We had a guy who sent a picture a couple weeks ago. They sent me a picture a couple weeks ago of Butch playing for the old Tupelo. It was the 49ers. That was an American Legion team, I think, when they were like 15 or 16, and him playing out here on the field at Duty Noble when he was like 15.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Okay. So,
hey, you know what you can do in Monroe County? You can find a Farm Bureau representative.
Yep. We're in the Farm Bureau studios.
There is an agent in all 82 of Mississippi's counties. County Watch, by the way, by comparison, Alabama's at 67. So if we're competing for counties,
we got them beat.
We got them cornered, man. But yeah, check out your friends at Farm Bureau. Looking at this game this weekend, weather. You were going to be all over this. Tell me, because I guarantee you've already looked at it. What sort of wind we got? What sort of weather we got? How's it going to impact us?
It gonna rain. Remember Kyle Niblett? Niblett used to work in media relations.
Oh yeah.
And so Kyle was he's a funny guy now, and so Kyle had access to post things on the website back when you could actually read the website, and Kyle put a headline one day. He was doing softball. And it says, "It gonna rain." And let me tell you something. It did not go over. It gonna rain. So every time it's gonna rain, I think of Kyle's like, "It gonna rain." Because that's what it's gonna do this weekend. Now, the whole question is how can you play around that? Now,
can you imagine if we put out like Super Bulldog Weekend, hope to see you here, subtitle,
It gonna rain. All right, so we play a televised game tomorrow in the Saturday game, and I do not have any inside information here at all as well. It's kind of like Auburn. But that game is scheduled for 5 o'clock on the actual SEC network. You and I have today's game and then Sunday's game on the Plus. Tomorrow is the SEC network at 5 o'clock. So that means you've got that TV window in there. And so if you're going to play a doubleheader – and I'm just spitballing. What am I doing here? I'm doing something.
Yeah, it's
whatever. You get what I'm saying.
Scatter shooting. How about that?
I would guess that if you played a doubleheader, you would play a 5 o'clock game one. I'm guessing. Oh. That's what I'm guessing.
All right, let me ask you this while you're guessing. And I don't know. Is our football game televised tomorrow live?
I mean, I know they'll tape it. It's at 1 o'clock, right?
Yeah, so do you back that up, get it in at 11? Do you get it in at noon? Just move it up an hour? Of course, that's the problem. You can't change that 5 o'clock game, can you?
No, you can't change the 5 o'clock game. That's
That's a hard start.
That is a hard start with that. So
but you can't start a game at 9 at night on a Saturday, can you?
Well, if it's game 3 of the series.
Some of us got to sleep, man.
No, we give us a Sunday off.
Okay, let's get them in.
I mean, let's play it, sucker, at 2 o'clock. All-nighter at the dude, man. Okay, I was going to go back to Auburn and as far as their pitching. And we saw this firsthand last week in the Saturday game, Cam Schulke. You know, late in that game, he got squeezed. And I don't take exception to Scott Klein particularly because I think this may be an overall issue in college baseball right now. You saw Cam throwing pitches down in the zone at knee level, and was not getting calls. And so what happened was he had to bring the ball up, it flattened out, Ole Miss began to hit. In today's world of power arms, where everybody's throwing power arms in college sports, has it changed the umpiring? Because you're seeing more and more high strikes called. But it seems to me just – and I don't have the data to back this up. Unless you have a really good catcher, and Johnny Long is a really good receiving catcher, you're not seeing many calls at the bottom of the zone. So guys like Cam Shulkey and guys like Auburn's pitching staff who rely on sync, because that's Butch's – that's his mantra. We're going to pitch with sync, and it doesn't have to be 95. It could be 90, 92. That's what he lived with, and that's what he, that's his style of pitching. Is the way the game's being called not conducive to that anymore, because you're not getting pitches down in the zone, and then you have to pitch up, and then you get hit?
Just my experience watching TrackMan throughout the ball games this year, I think what I'd tell you is it feels a little bit umpire to umpire. I have seen some guys, and I'd have to go back and think about who they were, but some guys have given more at the bottom of the zone than have others. The thing I think that is really drawing the reaction from the crowd, so what are the oohs and the ahs and the growls from the crowd? To me, it's fastball top of the zone, to your point. It feels like there are more high strikes being called. The low strikes I've found to be very umpire-specific. Some of them are going to give and some of them aren't. Now, you look at that game last week. Ole Miss, man, the catching was bad. It was not good.
It was not good.
So they weren't getting calls at the bottom of the zone. And I thought it got tight on Shulkey. Some guys are giving it and some guys aren't. And Shulkey, that ball just does some weird things. You know, one of the reasons Shulkey is so effective to a hitter is because it's coming from a different spot. You're seeing it differently. I think it happens to umpires too. We've seen him get balls off the plate, but there have been times where he has not gotten those calls. And when he doesn't, and he's got to bring it to the zone, it can get a little messy.
Here's where I also think we're very similar to Auburn, is we both lost a lot of close games in league play. They've lost six games by one run in league play. Charlie, I was looking yesterday. We have seven league wins. Right? We're 7-8 coming into this weekend. They're 2-13. Out of the seven wins we have in league play, We only have one save. That's last in the SEC in SEC only stat.
Run that one by me again.
We have seven league wins and one save. And the only save was the 5-1 Friday night win against Georgia. Remember, it was a 2-1 game, and then we scored four runs in the ninth. So we won that game 6-1. But that's the only game that we have a save in SEC play. So we have also, if it's a close game in league play, that was the only close win that we have had. We've had a lot of close losses. Oh, so does Auburn. They have had a lot of close losses.
Yeah, to that point, you look at that opening weekend against Vanderbilt, got pushed around a little bit. But Arkansas, how about this, a 1-0 game to open that series. So you host Arkansas after being swept at Vandy. Arkansas, you lose 1-0, 6-5, then get an 8-6 win. Go out to A&M, lose 9-7. You lose 10-9 in 12 innings. Tennessee signed the non-compete. But this is a team that's, man, they've competed. They just
don't have a closer.
They don't have a closer. But I argue, too, they don't have a starter. You know, they thought they did. What's interesting to me is when you pull up a team and you look and you say, as you go into the season, the February 14 version of this show, who is going to be the stud for this team? Who is going to be the guy that is just front of the rotation? And for them, somewhat like us, I think probably less so. In our case, it's an injury that caused it. But if we were going back, you would have expected to see the name Gonzalez a lot more, and probably you'd expect to see it tonight.
Well, we saw Gonzalez a few years ago as a freshman, and he was a really good freshman pitching on Sundays. Had a lot of good movement with his pitches. He was out last year with shoulder surgery. He came back this year, and his pitches just do not have the movement right now, and so he's getting hit a good bit. Alsip has been their Friday night guy. You know, when you start looking at starting pitching tonight and tomorrow, you know, the guy going tonight for Auburn, the right-hander, has two starts this season. The guy tomorrow is building a bullpen guy. This will be his first start. Butch is starting on Super Bulldog weekend Saturday. A guy getting his first start. How about that?
Well, what's the old thing? Sometimes ignorance is bliss, right?
Conversely, when you look at us, you know, our struggles have been in the bullpen. You know, Charlie, when you look in league play, in the top 10 in the league, individual pitching, as far as innings pitched, when you look at the top 10 in the league, we have two guys in the top 10. Cal Stephen has thrown 29 1/3 innings of work. in five starts. So he's throwing right at six innings a game in SEC play. Gerangelo, even though he went three innings last week, is at 25 and two-thirds. And so Gerangelo's thrown 25 and five innings per SEC start. Us and Arkansas are the only two teams in the SEC that have two pitchers that have thrown 25 and two-thirds or more. They got Hagan Smith, who's thrown 30. They've got Molina, who's thrown 25 and two-thirds, just like Gerangelo. So we've gotten starting pitching as good as anybody in the SEC is from an innings pitch standpoint. But the back end has been very tough for us.
See, look at Auburn in league play. Alsup has gotten the most innings for them. He's at 22. After that, nobody's pitched as many as 20. And still trying to figure it out, I guess, who their starters really are. But here's – boy, man, this is – feels just like we've covered this the past couple of weeks, and it doesn't work out, but here you go. Here's the guys – you know, when you look at the stat sheet, there's the above-the-line guys and the below-the-line guys.
Yeah, the below-the-line guys just hadn't played a whole lot.
Yeah, and you get a lot more pitchers below the line, but above-the-line guys for Auburn, there are four. You got Myers, who's thrown 15 innings. Opponents are hitting 306 against him in league play. You got Alsup, who's thrown 22 and a third. Opponents are hitting 350 against him in league play. Think about this for a minute. The guy you have put out there the most, opponents are hitting 350 against him. McBride, who comes next, he's gone 13-plus. Opponents hitting 340. And then Gonzalez, the guy we talked about, and you talk about like balls flattening out, that kind of thing. 11 and two-thirds in league play, opponents are hitting 397. Like, they'll build statues of you. You hit 397 for a career. Entire teams are doing that against him this year.
Well, not just Sam, too. I mean, overall, opposing batting average. We're fourth best in the league right now in opposing team batting average in league games. In 15 league games. 246 is what teams are hitting against us. Teams are hitting 339 as a team against Auburn. Now, you know, Georgia had walked some guys. Ole Miss had been terrible at walks. Auburn has given up a ton of hits. I mean, teams are hitting this bunch. And so that's the thing that stands out to me is, you know, pitches being up in the zone. And I go back to, man, 40 home runs and 40 doubles. 83 extra base hits through 15 games. And I know a lot of it has to do with playing Tennessee and playing Kentucky, who's hitting the ball well right now, playing, you know, playing Arkansas, who's been – well, Arkansas really hadn't been that good offensively. But, man, they're just giving up a ton of hits. And so, hey, I did go by and got my Strange Brew coffee this morning and got me a bag of blueberry cobbler-flavored coffee for the office. And so I make the Strange Brew coffee in the office every day when I don't have a chance to go buy Strange Brew. Strange Brew now with three locations, one here in Starkville, Spring Street, and Highway 12. And then in Tupelo, they got Brewpolo, and also in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. But go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. They'll ship that great coffee to you all across the country, all across the world. Wherever you are, they will ship it to you. Our good friends at Strange Brew Coffee House and Strange Brew Coffee House. com. We're also, as we said, in the Farm Bureau studios here in downtown Starkville. Farm Bureau, go with the home team at Farm Bureau. Had some country pleasing sausage this morning. Country pleasing made right here in the state of Mississippi. Can't beat country pleasing. You'll see it at the ballpark this weekend. Go get you a sausage dog from our good friends at Country Pleasing, made down in Florence, Mississippi on Highway 49 at Country Meat Packers. And our good friends at Country Pleasing Sausage. All right, Charlie, I was just looking at some stats overall for this weekend. Auburn is a team that will try to run a little bit. They've got some guys in their order that will run. And I think a lot was made last weekend by and I think it was said on the air about how Johnny Long had not thrown out many base runners or any or whatever in SEC play.
Said. It was pounded into my brain.
Well, I'm trying to be nice. Yeah, but teams have only stolen three bases against us in league play. Now, that may have a lot to do with the style of play, but Ole Miss has stolen 21 bases or has had 21 stolen against them this year. But we've only had three out of five in stolen bases against us this year. So even though it was kind of beating our head last week that, you know, we haven't thrown out a whole lot, well, teams really haven't stolen or tried to steal a whole lot.
Which is part of the goal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not about how many you throw out. It's about how many stolen bases you allow. Now, speaking of throwing people out, though, Auburn's not allowing a ton of stolen bases. They've thrown some guys out.
They've thrown out eight.
Like, I was in the mode last week kind of begging us to run. Now, that being said, we tried to run at will earlier this week against Alcorn, and some of those got
didn't get some good jumps in there.
Got a little close down at second. Some of them got a guy thrown out.
Yeah. So, well, you look around the league this weekend, and now we begin the second part of the season. The second season begins this weekend, Charlie. Last night, Vanderbilt beat Florida, which was not a surprise at all. Vandy is now 9-7 in the league. Florida is now 7-9 in the SEC. A&M and Alabama were rained out last night. So you've got Auburn at Georgia this weekend. Be interested to see what Georgia does in that home ballpark, conducive to the home run ball. Ole Miss pitching put it together last week against us. Hey, big matchup this weekend in Lexington. You got Tennessee on the road at Kentucky. Arkansas at South Carolina this weekend. Of course, we're playing host to Auburn. And then LSU at Missouri. LSU, a 3-12 team. Missouri has two more wins in league play than LSU. Hey, we said after 15 games we'd be surprised if LSU had a winning record. I didn't think they'd be 3-12.
Yeah, kind of. We were right, but the degree to which we were right, I think, shocks me a little bit.
Well, it really does. Well, hey, it's that fun time of year, Super Bulldog weekend. We talk about football tomorrow, 1 o'clock. We've got baseball at 5. Stay tuned. Stay close to Twitter. Try to figure out when we're going to play all this. And then Sunday, schedule for a 1 o'clock start on Sunday for the 3-game series. Hey, also like to remind you, our good friends at Heartland Catfish are producing the finest U.S. farm-raised catfish you can possibly want, and they serve it at great restaurants around the Southeast. One of those great restaurants is High on the Hog Barbecue in Grenada. Now, I've had to go over to Grenada several times, whether it be a weekend baseball trip over there for Sims, whether it be Joya with basketball, and I've gone to High on the Hog several times. And of course, they're the barbecue place. They got great barbecue, but they got great catfish as well at High on the Hog Barbecue in Grenada, Mississippi. And they get it from our good friends at Heartland Catfish. Heartland from the ponds all the way to the plate. It's in Itabena, Mississippi. Fantastic catfish that they serve in great restaurants around the South. And also brought to you by our good friends at Nutrien Ag Solutions. We talk about Nutrien Ag Solutions, Bubba Morris, Jeff Tarsi, Scott Cummings. Those guys, great guys to work with. And right now, a lot of people planting the seed in the field right now, doing a lot of fertilizing, getting ready for the Delta farming season. And here in the northeast part of the state of Mississippi as well.
Why are you always loving on the Delta guys? I mean, every time we talk and you want to bring up farmers, they're always Delta farmers. Don't you have any love for the hill farmers?
I do have love for the hill farmers.
The prairie guys?
Well, they're just using it in more – it's more quantity in the Delta. I mean, it's a big difference in farming thousands of acres compared to farming a couple hundred acres.
Hey, shout out to my guys here in the Black Prairie, man. I'm with you.
Yeah, I know. I'm there with you, too. But Dynagrow Seed, made to perform on your acres with a proven track record – innovative seed solutions to maximize your local acreage for over 30 years. Dynagrow Seed has worked hard with local farmers to find the best seed solutions. And so book your seed today at your local Nutrien Ag Solutions or visit dynagrowseed.com to learn more. You know, they have a place in Macon, Charlie, that sells Dynagrow Seed. They have a Nutrien Ag Solutions place in Macon. And so we're going to go by there.
See?
And
see?
That's the
you don't think they're selling to people in the Delta, do you?
But and that's where
I love my Delta farmers. Don't get me wrong.
And that's where I'm going to get the corn for you and the corn for me. What I'll do is we'll split it up.
And what do you call this thing? A raised bed garden? What is
no,
it
you
called?
Can't plant. You can plant garden or plant corn in a raised bed, but I would. That's a big raised bed.
Okay.
What
does
I would do?
Got to go deep.
No.
Is that why?
No, it's just you don't want to. You don't want that big. It's just.
You mean it grows too tall when you say big? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm talking about the land area. You need to like. Make you a big long row.
Well, I'm not going to eat that much corn.
Three or four rows. Well, feed the neighborhood, man.
I'm a subsistence farmer.
So you grow some corn, I'll grow some corn, and let's see who maximizes their acres the most.
All right.
You know, that's going to be the plan right there. How many ears per acre that Charlie produces versus I produce?
Well, just you grow the plot small enough. I'm gonna have about a 3-inch circumference.
3x3x3. So that's our good friends at Dyna-Gro Seed and Nutrien Ag Solutions.
Hey, you know, this time of year, Bart, you know, obviously we got Super Bulldog Weekend coming on this weekend. Football, I have never been a big spring game guy from this perspective. Hear me out. I love spring games. I love being around. I love seeing guys playing football. I like the chance to take some of the younger guys and get them into games and start to see, you know, if nothing else, just go through the routine, put the pads on, do some things, kind of get an idea of where you stand depth chart-wise. But, you know, some people, we're going to have a different scoring system tomorrow. It's basically offense playing defense. There were the days back when you did the spring games and it was a draft. You know, you'd have a couple of team captains, they'd draft their team. There is no chance in today's world that you would let that happen.
No.
Because you could have a starting center and a third team left guard. It's a great ticket to getting somebody killed, right? But back when men were men, that's what we used to do. And so the discussion was had at my house over the past few days. If we were going old school, if we were going to put together a draft, you and I started this whole show with a draft, drafting baseball players. We, you know, if you haven't listened, way back when this show started, Bart and I did a thing where we drafted hypothetical 25-man teams, mine versus his, of former Mississippi State players who did not make the major leagues, even if for a day.
And we did offend some of the older guys.
We did.
They were mad because they did not make the top 10 rounds.
So we heard about it, and justifiably in some cases. But if we were having the draft for this maroon-white game, we got Team Bart, Team Charlie. Who is your first draft pick?
For this weekend?
For this weekend.
I mean, I guess you were the quarterback, right?
See, I don't. See, this was the big discussion in my house. And we actually had some different votes. We had votes for Travion Williams. We had a vote for John Lewis, which was, I think, a pretty cool out-of-the-box pick, right?
I can see it. By the way, John did some video work with you guys yesterday with the Bulldog Initiative.
Yeah, it should hit later today. Man, he's got a future in front of a camera. Got Josh Hubbard, Jerkayla Jordan. Did you see the Johnny Long video?
Yeah, I saw the Johnny Long video. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, if you hadn't seen it, check out Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You'll see Johnny Long and Emmy Perkins doing some talking. But you're going quarterback. See, I believe, Bart, that much like the SEC, maroon and white games are won at the line of scrimmage.
No, I don't, because the quarterbacks can't be hit, so they're going to be a little bit more comfortable back there.
Oh, they can in my game.
Well, not in a real spring game. It's like, you know, you got the black jersey on. So you can't
isn't
hit the...
that all the more reason that I could go with Van Buren tomorrow?
No. I don't know. No. I think the comfort level –
by making
level...
them comfortable – I added a syllable there.
That's all right.
By making them comfortable, you kind of devalue the spot, don't you?
No. I mean, you're just not going to get a quarterback hurt during the spring game. Hey, you talk about Bulldog Initiative. We haven't talked about our good friends at Maroon & Company. If you're coming into town this weekend – you need some Bulldog Initiative gear. You need anything maroon and white. They've got a great assortment over there in the Cottonmill Marketplace right by Chick-fil-A next to campus. So if you're coming onto campus for the maroon and white game, find a perfect place to get that maroon and white gear. And that's our good friends at Maroon & Company. Wyatt Craig and his great staff working well with the Bulldog Initiative as well. Just tell them in the store or when you go online to maroonandco.com, the code NIL10. And they'll give you a 10% discount. 5% will come back to the Bulldog Initiative. And that's our good friends at Maroon and Company. Yeah, I'm staying with the quarterback position.
All right.
You tried to talk me out of it, but I'm not.
I'm going to bulk up. We're getting after your quarterback.
I think you're overthinking this a little bit.
I'm getting Don Terry Russell involved early in my draft. I'll just tell you that.
Well, you can't hit him.
No. If you talk to a few guys about what's been going on in spring practice, he did, in fact, hit a quarterback with a jersey on one day. Got everybody's tempers up a little bit, which I kind of like.
Yeah, I do too.
Welcome to town.
Speaking of Johnny Long.
Yeah, speaking of Johnny Long. Hey, in Starkville coming up, obviously Super Bulldog Weekend this week. Here is something, you know, we always talk about getting involved locally. There's two things. I was going to volunteer for one of these tomorrow and let you do the other. I thought that, I say tomorrow, next weekend rather, I thought that I would go down and hit up the Starkville Community Market, which gets going down by the fire station down at the end of Russell Street.
I will not be here that early tomorrow morning.
And I was thinking, so it's actually next week.
Oh, it's next week.
It's next week. Oh,
okay.
So we'll get it going next week.
I won't be here.
I was thinking maybe you could go down and participate in the Downtown Martial Arts and Judo Championships. You get to compete, and then when you're done, stick around for some extra training.
Okay. So I just got to stretch really well. I'm trying to figure out what muscle group would be pulled the fastest if I were to do mixed martial arts.
Here's one for you. What if we were drafting Mississippi State athletes to compete in MMA?
Shivers.
Well,
he actually did it.
Did he really?
Did he?
You know, you got Brian Hudson out there who won American Gladiator back in the day. I was thinking more current guys. I think I'm going Cam Matthews. Just for the...
Well, the length. I mean, he's six. Yeah. You're not going to have that kind of athleticism.
I don't care how athletic, how skilled you are. At some point, you just can't stand up for a guy running you over. And Cam Matthews is a guy who could run you over. My man Don Terry Russell might be one of those guys. All right, anyway, we've got baseball coming up this weekend. We've got a spring game, a lot going on in town. Before the game tomorrow, weather permitting, you will see some Bulldog Initiative athletes down in the right field area signing autographs. Josh Hubbard or Kayla Jordan, Cam Matthews are going to be down there. So stop by and see them. And just a lot going on.
So you and I have to do interviews during the spring game, right? That's going over the PA. We got a lot of former players that are coming in this weekend.
That's what I think we're doing.
That's what I heard we're doing.
Yeah, I would say the instructions at this point are less than clear. But I think during the game that Bart and I will have a chance to visit some guys like Preston Smith and
Slay.
Darius Slay, Jonathan Abram, I think, is going to be here.
I think so.
So, could be good.
All right. Hey, let's be good this weekend. Let's be great. Let's be great. Let's be great.
Let's do it. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on Sunday.